How many of you know we had a concert last weekend? How many of you were at the concert? Raise your hand if you came by. Okay. So we had a few from here. Some of our teens stopped by from camp, and that was a blessing. When they all walked in, man, my heart just jumped up. But a little history, and most of you probably know this, but I just want to kind of start at the beginning. How many of you remember this book? This book, not the other ones, this one. Chains Unchained started about four or five years ago. With this book. I wanted to write a devotional, but some of you might know I'm lazy. So I didn't. But I have a lot of friends, which is a good thing. And so I decided this was going to be written for people that don't go to church. It's good for the church. There's a lot of good stuff in here. But these are stories that people who don't walk through this door would relate to. They're stories of human trafficking, addiction, all kinds of stuff. There's stories from people here who grew up in church and yet didn't quite feel right. And God was able, He blessed us. It started out as like a spiral-bound book, and then we were able to get it published into a book. And we give these away for free. We don't get them for free, but we give them away for free. We gave away quite a few of this first book. And then, like 2 years later, this book came out. It's the second book. I never could have imagined the second book. I just wanted to do one. Some of the same people and a bunch of new people jumped on board with this. And another ministry blessed us and put together a CD from all the bands in this book. And so we were able to give out a devotional and a CD with it. Fast forward to last year, and this book came out, book three. A lot of people look at the cover of this and they think, there's no way that's a Christian book. It's got like zombies and skull and, but that's Rottweiler Records. These guys reach out to some of the most unreachable people in the world, at least in this country. Places where most of us would stand out like sore thumbs and no one would even give us a time of day. These guys reach out into their lives. And for them, this makes total sense. But this, and then a music festival. At the same time, this was released last year at the music festival. God has done things that I never would have thought about because of a book. We've reached all kinds of people because of a book. It all started. Oops, wrong one. See, I have so many of them now, I grabbed the wrong ones. But it all started with this. And it started with a lot of people giving a lot of time, because these are things they had to think through. These are stories that... Raise your hand if you have a story. I should see every hand in this building up, because every single one of you has a story. The issue is we don't get comfortable telling the story. And these people did. I had to beg some of them, but they did. They told their story. They gave. They gave something back to the community that they were brought out of. Took a lot of people. Took a lot of money. Each one of these, I think we gave 1,500 of this first book away. And they're about $350 a book. So people gave their time. They gave their talents. They gave their money. Just because we wanted to give away a book. Because I couldn't, there's no way I could afford $4,500 to $1,000 or $1,500, $5,000. I'll get the numbers right. Maps have never been a good thing for me. There's no way I could have afforded that. But by God's grace, we did it. And we gave it away. We've given out at least as many as the other ones as what we've given away the first one. So God has been blessing that. But it took a lot of people to participate in that first book, to believe in that first book, that it was enough for us to be able to do. More people jumped on board and it got bigger. And it, you know, when we give to God, it's amazing what God does with that. Amazing what God does with that. He takes it and He makes it bigger than anything we could have ever dreamt of. If your dreams don't scare you, your dreams aren't God's dreams. Because if you knew what God had for your life, you'd be terrified. But if you're willing to give... See, I'm going to be talking about giving today. And a lot of times we go with money, and I'll tell you what, money... My whole thing on this changed because I was going to go financially. Because I will tell you, the church needs financial support badly. Look around you. Everybody look around. Really take a second and look around at this building. I was scared that I was going to be distracted. There's so many things up here. I could just walk over and dig through that chest for the next 40 minutes. But none of it's free. Chains Unchained Festival this year cost us somewhere around $8,000. Okay? That's cheap for a music festival. That's almost unheard of. A similar size festival to ours, the exact same thing in California, the guy wound up $35,000 in debt after he paid for what he had. Okay, so they're not cheap, but God has blessed us. We've never had any money, so God knows that if it costs money, we can't do it much. But God has always blessed us with what we've needed. This year's festival, I could talk about it all day. That I know of, before I get to there, I told you none of this happens without people, right? None of that happened. I don't have $8,000. Okay, I got maybe $80. So we got a lot of zeros to add on the end to get to where we needed to be. Great sponsors. Thank you. Quality Clean Janitorial Services from this church stepped up. How many know have heard of Christy Fulnicki? She was a councilwoman here in Springfield that was done wrong badly. But her law firm stepped up and sponsored. A group called I Want Pins, who I believe the father is in one of these books, his table ministry provided about $5,000 worth of catering to us at no cost, plus came out and did everything. All About Kids Daycare, Richard and Kim's Daycare. Osmo Cajon Drums, some of the best hand drums you'll ever see. This guy donated them to us so that we could raffle them off. Unraffle them. We could unraffle them and raise more money. Commercial and Residential Services, Dan Parker's business stepped in. Steve's Handyman stepped in. More Pallets. Richard Moore and his family stepped in a big time. We were blessed. He actually was the main stage sponsor. Branson Gospel Radio, a gospel radio station, jumped on board with a Christian metal festival. And guess what? They live broadcasted it to 5 different streaming sites. Plus, they recorded one of the bands who was a brand new band who didn't have anything. They went out and had like 15 shirts made really quick just so they could have something on a table. He recorded them, and now they have a live bootleg. Plus, he got a studio in Branson to give them free recording time so they'll have a real CD. These are the kind of people that are involved in this. Concert photos. How many of you have been on our Facebook page and looked at some of the concert photos? If you haven't, go to Chains Unchained. Go to my page. Look at some of the amazing pictures. And all of this is given to us. This is a guy that charges like $7,000 or $8,000 to go to these big music festivals and shoot these big festivals. He did it for us for free and gave us everything that he had. Beauty and Beastly Photos. They showed up, and each band that wanted to could have a live video done for I think it was $200. That would normally cost you about $2,500. And he stepped in and did it for that. And guess what? There's another name on this list, and it's the Crossing Church. It's you guys. It's this body. You guys gave tremendously more than you may realize. You now have 7 brothers and sisters that I know of that you didn't have last Friday morning. There were so many hands went up for rededication on Saturday night that were just hurting and broken people that needed something, that were prayed for and prayed over because of this church. Some of you might know Steve, one of the guitarists for a band, had a heart attack on stage in his third song, a band called Weapons of God, Saturday. On stage. Third song, the man finished out his set. You say, well, then he didn't have a heart attack. And I'd say, no, he had a heart attack. He didn't know he had a heart attack. He got off the stage and he tried to drink a bottle of Pepto thinking it would go away. About 2 o'clock in the morning or whenever it was they left, going back home to Ohio. They came out here for $50, right, this band did. I couldn't even begin to tell you all the things that had to come together. On the way home, he got to Springfield. He didn't know we were all from Springfield. So he gets to Springfield and he's like, I need a hospital. First hospital, give me the hospital. They got him to the hospital. He had, his right artery was like 100% blocked. They took him in within 20 to 30 minutes of him hitting the emergency room. He was in the operating room, putting in 2 stents. He'd been dealing with this kind of pain, he said, for about 2 years. But he wouldn't go to the hospitals in Ohio. Wouldn't go. If he wouldn't have been here, he still wouldn't have gone even after this. It took a music festival. It took all of this to happen to get him from Ohio to here so he could have a heart attack, so that he could go to a hospital that Mercy reached out to this guy and loved him. People who started going to his church in Ohio a month ago, their kids are going to Evangel here in town. Tell me it's coincidental. They were up there visiting. We had people from the festival visiting him. This guy, they could have broken down or they could have gone to any hospital in any town between here and Ohio. And it was here. Miracles everywhere. You can call it whatever you want. This church did this. Giving did this. It all started with giving. The power of giving is amazing. You know what? I was sitting back there while we were doing all the singing and everything, and if you ever know, I just pace. I have nervous energy before I speak, and I just pace because I can't sit still. You know a thing that I've seen, and I've seen it all the time, but it really hit me this week. I looked over and Pastor David's standing there, and he's giving his kids dollar bills or whatever it is. I'd like to apply for that position, but... You know why? You know why? Because he's instilling in them when they're here that giving is biblical. Tithes, talents, and time is biblical. If you ever get, if you're a pastor and you get to sit under somebody like this, you are blessed. Because everything they say, you get to see. None of us are perfect, especially Pastor David. But you know what? Watch him, because he tries to live what he teaches. Giving is foundational to this body. Giving is foundational to your walk with Christ. If you don't give, you don't love. I can't say it any plainer than that. If you love people, you will give. If you don't, you will keep. It's just how we are. See, each of us, every single person in this building, and the ones that aren't here today, all have a part to play in this body and in each of our lives. The only way, what happens if this church decides we're going to keep all our money, we're going to keep all our time, we're going to keep all our talents to ourselves, not to the building, to ourselves? This church dies, the gospel never goes forward, people who were meant to hear the gospel never will. What happens if everyone in this church decides, you know what, it's not mine. It's God's anyway. Not 10%. That's easy. 10% is like a starting place. That's like when your kids are like 8 and they have track and they put like the hurdles like that low. That's what 10% is. I was listening to a pastor when I was getting ready for this. It's a pastor of a big church, right? So you think he's got a lot of money. The guy drives a 15-year-old pickup, and he gives 97% of his income away. 3% of his income. Well, if you make $80 million, well, he don't make that much, but it's easy to give. No, because we are creatures that want to keep. God says, give it away. You can't, you will never outgive God. Never. But you can take yourself out of God's blessings by not giving. God's Word talks a lot about giving. See, Malachi in chapter 1, God's accusing the Israelites of false. It's an attitude issue. Giving is 100% about your attitude, my attitude. They were making offerings, worshiping, sacrificing, and Malachi steps forward and he asks them a really kind of pointed question. But see, because God wasn't accepting their offerings, they were corrupted. They were unacceptable to God. They were giving, but their attitude was wrong. God wasn't accepting it. You know that sweet-smelling aroma that God wants? This stunk. You ever smelt burning tires? Probably kind of what it smelt like. He said, if you took this garbage that you're offering to me, and you took it over to the Capitol, and you laid it at the feet of a governor and said, here, this is yours, what would he do? Well, you'd probably be put in jail. But yet you offer it to me. Our attitude makes a difference. Your attitude tells you whether you give godly or whether either one, you give but not in the right attitude, or you're just a miser. Here's Malachi 1:9. But now entreat God's favor that He may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will He accept you favorably? Basically, go ahead, ask for God's protection. See what happens. He said, I won't give it to you. Your attitude is wrong. Your offering is wrong. We talked a couple weeks ago. Commitment, all of this stuff ties together. Commitment, prayer, giving, all of it ties together to make us who we're supposed to be. And if any one of those are off, you ever tried to sit on a two-legged stool? Well, I just put my feet down. It's easy. Okay, lift your feet. Lift your feet. Take that third support away. See, I want us to see that our giving, financial time and talents, financially, because this church needs to function. What happens if you don't have money and your light bill comes in? I can tell you because we forgot to pay our light bill this last month. Our light bill got shut off for like 2 hours. I was like, oh, dang it. We had the money, so thankfully we got the lights turned back on. Do you think the same thing wouldn't happen here? You know what? If we don't have enough money come in, we keep the lights on, and Pastor Mike, Tamara, they sacrifice paychecks. Do you understand? Would you go to work if they told you, hey, we can't pay you today because... And see, but here's the cool thing. I don't get paid, so I can say this. They would never come up here and say this. They wouldn't say this, but I will. Because the fault is just as much mine when we don't give. You need to know the truth. Finances keep this. It's all about the money, yeah, kind of. Because without that, we don't get the gospel out. The gospel does not go anywhere without our time, our talents, and our treasure. Contrast that message from Malachi, right? You really think I'm going to bless you? Are you crazy? Mark 12, starting in verse 41. I love this. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. See, back then, all your money, when you gave your offerings there, they had big boxes set up. And they had kind of like a horn, a bowl sitting on top, and so you'd walk by, you'd drop it in, it'd funnel into that box. There was like 12, 13 of them stationed around the temple. Each one of them for a different thing. So Jesus is sitting in the courtyard and he's watching. And many who were rich put in much, but one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites. It's a lepta. It's the smallest Greek coin. Okay? Smallest Greek coin. Which makes a quadrin. That was the smallest Roman coin. So she gave 2 Greek coins because she didn't even have the smallest Roman coin. So he called his disciples to himself and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood. Let's pray. God, thank you. God, help us to see that attitude matters. God, attitude matters more than what we give. God, help us to be people that are giving. Help us to be people that have an outward expression of the inward love that we have for everyone else. Lord, we love you and we just want to hear from you today. Amen. So see, too often in the church, the attitude about giving is negative. We almost apologize for it. Oh, today we're going to talk about offerings and, you know, those of you that aren't members, don't worry. This is for everyone. Because what I'm praying for is if you're here and you're not a member, my prayer is you're going to be. And I'm going to start teaching you right now. So, giving is biblical, and we never back down off of something that's biblical. See, but we have a negative attitude. See, it's more of a last-minute thing than a planned-out thing. You want to hear us? Here's an example of me today. I had my offering. I had it in the envelope that you get from the bank, right? I forgot to transfer it over. So it should have been planned. I should have had everything ready to give, right? No, I had to run back and give it to B and say, will you fill out an envelope for me? Blah, 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 blah. I got to go up on stage. Yes, I gave. Yes, it was joyful, but it wasn't, you know, little things matter to God. It needs to be intentional. It needs to be planned. That's why we always say, take the first part of it. Don't wait till after you get back from vacation and see how much you have left. That's unacceptable to God. It's more last minute than planned out. It's out of obligation rather than love. It's born out of a desire to receive instead of just to simply be more Christ-like. See, if you look at the Western church today, we've adopted a lot of the worldly attitudes into our churches and we've taught them from our pulpit. We bring them in from here, and we bring them in there, and we kind of mix worldly philosophies with biblical teaching. We're a society of materialism. Okay? Sad thing is, we're also a society of materialism here in the church. When I say we, I'm not talking, don't everybody come up and say, we don't do that, we don't. We are the church whole. We donate money to causes for notoriety, for plaques, publicity, attention, ego, go on and on and on. I can name, everything in this building should be about Jesus. Not about plaques, not about what you get for what you, if nobody ever knew you gave it, would you still give what you give and more? If no one ever knew. Attitude. Materialism has no place in the church. None. See, we think, and here's the thing, and you could, I do this too. When I was reading this and going through this, it hit me. Even when I don't do, you know what? How many times have you heard, if you give, God will bless you? Have you heard it? Guess what? It's true. But is that why you give? Is that why you give? If you give because God will bless you, that's materialism. That's a materialism. I'm giving because God is going to get. I heard one of the most profound things at the festival this year from a guy named Miggy. He's a singer from Relent. And I'm going to try to get it right. I was telling April, and she just looked at me like, but then I explained it to her. And she's like, oh, that makes perfect sense. So listen to what I'm saying and see if it digests. When I love you and you don't love me back, I get mad at you because I've lost something. Right? When God loves us and we don't love Him back, God gets sad because we've lost something. That's giving. God's character is giving. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. See, blessings are good. I like blessings. Blessings are pretty awesome, actually. But I don't give for a blessing. If God never gave me a single thing back, He still owns it all. I don't give for a blessing. I like blessings, but it's not why I give. We give to receive attention. We give to obtain bigger and better things, when in reality, the only thing that should prompt us to give is love. Love for God and love for people. You know what? If we got that, if all of us really got that, we'd have more money than we knew what to do with. Because God says it's all His. You cannot outgive Him. At times, I think I've tried. I don't know if I've intentionally tried, but because we give, we gave, and then we had nothing left, but we always had something. I've never gone... have I ever gone hungry? Only when I decided I didn't want to get off the freeway. That's the only time. We cannot outgive God. We could try, but if it's all His, you know what? He says He gives us our needs. A lot of times we want our wants. And that's the issue. Our wants get in the way of giving. All these other things that we receive, all the blessings, guess what, guys? You don't give to do that. That's just God's natural response to His children. Why does Pastor give a dollar to each of his kids? Why does he give so much stuff to them? Why do I like to give stuff to my grandkids? Why did my mom like to give stuff to me? Simple, right? Because I just love you, and she just loved me. I'm looking at her saying, I love you. That's why you gave me. She loved me. You know what? There were times when that woman had a definitely unlovable son. And yet she always gave. Always. I can tell you story after story when I was the most horrible person and she gave. Same thing with God. God's natural response to us is to bless us. Even if you haven't accepted Him yet, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. He just blesses people. And when you are His and you do according to Him, it opens windows. It opens windows. But see, those windows never open if you never get it. The scariest thing for me one day is to get to heaven and God be showing me around and there's a room with a bunch of stuff in it. And I'm like, what's that? And He says, oh, those were the blessings I wanted to give you. But you just did. Yeah, you just wouldn't allow me to. You kept your window shut. I want everything God's got. But see, that's not why I give. I give because I love God and I love people. And if all I got is 20 bucks and you need 20 bucks, I'll give you 20 bucks. See, the widow in the story gave everything she had. Could you imagine that? Write a checkbook out for everything you have. Drop it in the plate. You know, here's the thing. Nobody noticed but Jesus. Nobody took note. It wasn't the people that had the little processionals that gave away so much money and tons of money. But one little lady who had nothing. You got a penny in your pocket? I don't know if I do. Chop that penny in half. That's what she had. She had one penny chopped in half. Depending on who you listen to, it was either in half or in fifths. So it would either take two or it would take five, depending on who you listen to and what coin you compare it with. But a widow's mite was the smallest coin you could get, and she gave two of them, and it was all she had, and she gave it. And the only one that noticed was Jesus. The only one that noticed was Jesus. See, what she gave would never have made a dent in that treasury. But her love for God drove her to sacrificially give everything, literally, without worrying about her needs and how they were going to be met. Because I will tell you back then, same as today in a lot of churches, there wasn't a lot of help going out. But she gave anyway. 2 Corinthians 8, 1-5, Paul talks about the generosity of the Macedonian church. He described their situation as being in deep poverty. How many of us today live in deep poverty? I ain't got a lot of money. Compared to some people, I'm poor. Compared to some people, I'm rich. I'm not deep poverty. And they begged to give. In fact, they gave so much, they gave beyond what they could afford. They gave beyond what their abilities should have been. Just like the woman in the temple. In verse 5, it says, this is where it hits to the heart of biblical giving. The only way, in verse 5, it talks about they gave their heart first to God. Do you want to give like you've never given? First, take your heart and give it to God as an offering and say, God, whatever it is, it's yours. And I promise you, He will open your eyes to need. Doesn't matter. You may know somebody has a need right now and you can fill it. And if you don't, the Bible says that's sin. My bank account size doesn't matter. See, my desire for us as a Crossing Church is to fully, as a complete body, not just one or two, every single person that calls this place home, is to come to a point where we understand that nothing we have is ours. You know, back in the day, everything I had was mine. And if I could work it out, everything you had was going to be mine. You are in my life for, and we talked about this a little bit today, you are in my life for one of three reasons. And they all had to do with me. You had money, you had drugs, or I could use you for some reason. That was why you were in my life. When we understand that it's all God's and everything we have is His and none of it belongs to me, then who cares if I give it away? Not mine. It's not mine. It's not my money. It's not my talent. It's not my time. These are not my possessions. These aren't my books. That's not my festival. This isn't my church. This is His. This is His. It all belongs to me. Those aren't my kids. Somehow I got to pay for them, but that ain't my kid. When I understand that, I give him to God, and guess who can take care of him way better than I can? God can. See, we don't give to receive. We receive because we give with the same heart that Jesus gave. Jesus never gave anything to receive something back. He saw a need, He met a need. As He was walking along, He saw a need, He met a need. Took another step, He saw a need, He met a need. There was no show about it. There was no... In fact, He could have been the star of the feeding of the 5,000. I mean, He is, because He did it. But it was all the people that were walking around giving out food that all the people saw. He could have just stood up on the top of the hill and said, feed them, and it should have just manna fall from heaven. But see, the attitude of giving was not about Jesus. His attitude was pointing back to the Father. I got some things here real quick. I'm just going to run through them. When we give that way, that kind of giving honors God as a form of worship every single time you participate in it. 2 Corinthians 9. When you give like that, it draws me a little closer to God. Proverbs 14. It makes me a little bit more like Jesus. Proverbs 21. Giving demonstrates the reality of my faith. 2 Corinthians. See, all of these tie in. You want to know something? Here's a scary thing. Generosity reveals my character. Generosity reveals my character. That's in Luke 16. Yes, generosity does bring God's blessings. But that's not why I give. It's a really great outcome of the giving. That's Proverbs 22. Generosity, get this. You want to be happy? Generosity increases your joy. It's in Proverbs 11. Oh, I'm sorry, Acts 20. Generosity expands your influence. Do you want to see people come to the kingdom? Give. Guess what? They'll never hear if you don't give your time to tell them. They'll never hear if you don't give tithes and offerings to this church so that other people can go out and tell them, so we can bring them in so they can hear. Give. Generosity, get this one. You want more money? Give. Generosity multiplies what you have left. I'd rather give 50% to God and let Him bless the 50% I have than try to struggle through on the 100% I make. I've never gone broke giving to God. I've gone broke a whole bunch of other ways. But not that way. Generosity brings God's protection. Psalm 112. You want to know the best thing about it? Even if no one here ever knows that you gave a single penny, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. 1 Timothy 6. See, when we understand this concept, this radical giving concept, it will radically change our lives. It will radically change the direction of the body of this church. When we give everything back to the one who gave it to us in the first place, then we all get to experience God's blessings, God's provision, because God's Word promises it. You want to see this church fill? Give. Not just financially, although that is a key component. Give your time. Ask God to show somebody and invite them in, because guess what? They won't walk in here on their own. Somebody invited me. How many people were invited to church by someone or brought to church by a parent? How many people were just wandering by going, "Huh, church, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, I think I'll walk in there." No one? Even accidentally? Thought it was the liquor store or something? Someone? That's what I would have done. Communion? What's that? Wine? All right. I'm in. Time, talent, and treasures. What do you have to give to God? Everybody stand for just a second. Savannah's going to play here. Close your eyes for just a minute. See, first off, I want to give you the opportunity. If you're here and you have not ever heard the fact that Jesus died for you and Jesus loves you, that there is this thing called sin in this world and it separates us from God. You may have been here 100 times and you've never really had that hit home to you. Sin separates us from God. The only way to pay for that is with a perfect sacrifice. And I can't do that and you can't do that. We are lost. We are hopeless. But see, God provided a sacrifice. God sent His Son, Jesus, perfect human, perfect God, came to this earth. He lived a sin-free life. He taught us how to live. And then He gave His life up as a sacrifice for us because He was the only one that could pay that price. They buried Him. They hung Him on a cross. They killed Him. They buried Him. 3 days later, He came out of the grave and He beat death. Sound outrageous? Sounded outrageous to me too. But I'll tell you what, I would never change that decision I made almost 30 years ago now. Because God is good and God is real and God loves me. And God loves you. And if you've never heard that, I want you to know God loves you. And today, come talk to me. Come talk to Pastor David. Come talk to Pastor Mike. Talk to the person you're sitting next to. Come up here in just a few minutes and we'll show you what the Bible says about God's love for you. Maybe you're here and you need something. I don't know what it is. Your life's just kind of like mine most times, just messed up. We all need something. God wants to give that to you today. But you have to be open. You have to be honest and transparent with Him. In just a minute when we open the altars, just come and ask God. God, this is what's going on. Tell Him. He already knows. If you really want to see God work, come forward and say, "God, I don't know how. I don't know how. I have no idea. But God, show me how to give. Show me how to give without ever thinking about it." All those things I told you at the end, those are all outcroppings of a love for God that we give.